It's been so encouraging to hear from Liz and from Matt over the course of today and just about the ministry that's taking place here in the St. George area in our local high schools. I want to thank both of them for coming and sharing with us today. Matt had to leave early tonight because he's got his young daughter Heidi with him who needs to get home to bed. And so he gives his apologies that he couldn't stay for the rest of the service. But it is very encouraging. And our theme over the course of today has been Education Sunday, a focus on SRE. And in the few minutes that I've got left tonight, I want to just focus on a couple of thoughts on this idea of education, the importance in regards to the Bible. Before I do that, I just want to share a couple of statistics with you from our local church here at St. Aidan's. And we haven't even heard from Jocelyn sitting up in the back there, head of religious studies at Danebank. And I was asking Jocelyn earlier, how many students are at Danebank who hear the message in some shape or form of the gospel? And she said, well, everyone. I said, well, how many is that? 900. And talking with Liz, she said that Penshurst Girls are probably talking around about 240 students there. Matt mentioned earlier 250 students across Herschel Boys, Sydney Tech, and when they go to the ICF groups at Oatley Campus. You add to that we teach scripture in the local primary schools, and we've got currently seven teachers across our different congregations, 8, 10 and 6, and teaching across a number of schools. We're at Connells Point, Herschel South, Oatley, San Suzy, Herschel Grove Infants. There's roughly about another 170 students across those classes where teachers from our congregation are teaching. And then you add to that the ministry that we have with our Friday afternoon groups, with Kick and Kids Club. And then, of course, Crest in the evening. And on Sunday mornings when we have mini stacks and stacks and crew, and there's around about another 300 people that we can add to that. So if you do the maths there, it's getting close to 2,000 people that we have connection with around the St. George area. That's pretty incredible, and I'm very thankful for that, and I hope you are as well. And we'll be praying a little bit later on, particularly for some of those other things that I'd mentioned coming up, the divorce care, DC for kids, but also just giving thanks for that ministry impact that we can have in our area. I mentioned that I want to talk about this idea of education and its importance in regards to the Bible. Have we got that first slide up there? The first written record of the word education is found almost 500 years ago in the 1530s, and it comes from the Latin educare. And educare is a combination of two words, meaning out, and jucare, meaning to lead or to draw. The idea of drawing out key ideas or key thoughts. And education is a systematic process of giving or receiving instruction and drawing out or leading people towards making discoveries and understandings of key ideas. So when we think about education, we normally think about school, about university, about TAFE. But education isn't limited to learning at school or uni or TAFE. Education is the process of drawing out ideas and giving and receiving instruction, and that takes place everywhere. It takes place in the home, takes place at work, on the sporting field, even occurs in coffee shops as we meet and have discussions with each other and sharing thoughts and ideas and working through things. It can take place increasingly on social media. Without wanting to embarrassing one of my family members, one of our sons started soccer reffing last year, and he had to go and get instruction to receive, to, you know, understand some of the finer details of the rules. Then he'd go out onto the field, would be observed, and, you know, when you get some of those things that need a little bit fine-tuning, there'd be some correcting there, and there'd be some encouragement to keep pushing on. The goal being to actually be a servant to the game, to the people. Referees are not there just to lord it over people. They're actually there to keep control of the game so it actually runs smoothly, so that all the players can enjoy it. I don't know, some of you are more senior soccer players are thinking, no, we're just there to win and we want to get away with everything we can. I'm sure you don't think that deep down, that you actually have a more enjoyable game when it is run smoothly. In regards to the Bible, the Apostle Paul is giving Timothy one very clear instruction, and that is, preach the word in season and out of season. Can we have the next slide there? You'll see an outline of where we're heading here. And Paul says there, preach the word in season and out of season. In other words, when it's popular and people are willing to listen to it, but also when it's not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The environment in which we live today has changed very much from 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago. And some of you who may be able to remember back 50 years, certainly when speaking at our 8 a.m. congregation this morning, they could understand that almost everyone in Sydney went to church on a Sunday. Everyone. That was the social connection point. If you wanted to meet with people, you went to church. And so people heard the word of God. They had access to it. Scripture in school. Everyone went to scripture. So they were taught the word of God, had access to the Bible. We go back 10 years and not many people are coming to church regularly to sit under the word of God. In schools, at least there was freedom to continue to teach scripture in schools. That was only 10 years ago. Now we come to today, and it is harder and harder to teach the word of God. The opposition to teaching the Bible in schools has changed from one of passive indifference to increasing hostility, and in some situations, even actively aggressive. Now we give thanks to God that Liz has such a good relationship in Penshurst Girls, and Matt in the boys' schools. And that is wonderful and very encouraging, but it is not the case in a lot of schools across our state and certainly across the country. There are some people within the parts of the New South Wales education system that would love to see all teaching of the Bible removed completely from the public system. And as sad as that is, we shouldn't be surprised by that. If the world put Jesus to death on the cross, then what should we expect as followers of Jesus? And with this in mind, Paul says, preach the word with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Well, he gives two reasons. Firstly, in chapter 4, verse 1, because one day Jesus will return and he'll judge the living and the dead, and people need to know how to be ready for that day. Your friends at school, are they ready for that day? Your colleagues at university, are they ready for that day? Your work colleagues, your neighbours, friends, family, are they ready for that day? Paul says, preach the word with great patience and careful instruction. And the second reason he gives there in verse 3, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And we see that happening now. People don't want to hear that there is only one right way to God. People want to hear that there are many ways. That it doesn't really matter how I live. People don't want to hear that God judges sin, especially the sin in our own lives. They just want to hear that God loves. That's why there's an urgent need to proclaim the whole word of God, to teach it patiently and carefully, to prepare people, but also because there is so much false teaching in our world. People who are facing God's wrath need to hear the truth from God's word. They need to hear the good news about Jesus. We all do. We all need to hear that good news about what Jesus did on the cross, about taking our sin and dying on our behalf. We need to be reminded that the only way to be right with God is through faith in Jesus, acknowledging our sin before God and asking Him for forgiveness. But we're also very delicate creatures. We're very easily offended. We're easily hurt. We're easily crushed. And that's why Paul says, preach the word with great patience and careful instruction, showing the same grace for others that Jesus has shown to us. I think about my own life and the way Jesus is so patient with me. I continually make mistakes in many places and areas. And yet Jesus comes alongside, reminds me, corrects me, rebukes me where appropriate, encourages to push on in the way of righteousness. My Year 6 class are almost at the end of their primary education. 7 years they've had SRE. Every year for those 7 years, we have two sort of big main ideas that we focus on in primary education. And one is we look at the Old Testament and we talk about God's promises that were made to Abraham that are then fulfilled in Jesus. Sort of big idea that we sort of work through in different ways. But every year we keep coming back to that same idea. And the second part from the New Testament is the focus on Jesus' life and what He has done and the need to trust in Him. After 7 years, I was talking to some of my students the other day. So who do you think Jesus is? Oh, I don't know. What are the promises that God made to Abraham? Land? Yeah, any others? Nah, I can't remember the others. We need to keep coming back every year and proclaiming the word of God with great patience, careful instruction. Timothy must have felt the weight of this instruction. His teacher, the Apostle Paul, was suffering for his faith. False teaching was rife, both inside and outside the church. And Paul seeks to encourage Timothy, showing him how to be prepared. Going back to chapter 3 there, verses 16 and 17, we read that all Scripture is God-breathed. Every part of the Bible has been inspired by God. There is not one part of the Bible that God doesn't want to be there. And it's useful for showing people how to live, in equipping the servant of God to do good. Now, we don't know everything there is to know about God. God is infinite. But what God has given us in His Word is sufficient for teaching us, for rebuking us, for correcting us and training us in righteousness. If you want to be a doctor, you go to uni and you enroll in a Bachelor of Medicine. You want to be a plumber, you go to TAFE, you gain understanding about pipes and seals and plastic sleeves. I've started to learn some of that technology since we had a recent leak in our sewer pipes and got in discussion with our plumber. If you want to be a professional sports player, you go to the sports academy to get trained. You want to be a musician, you go to the conservatorium. The way the servant of God gets equipped to go about God's word, God's work, is through reading and understanding God's word. The Bible has wisdom for us in every situation we find ourselves. It is God speaking to us. God teaching us how to live. God teaching us when we go astray, rebuking us, correcting us when we make mistakes, and God training us in his righteousness. The Bible is where we meet God, where we're introduced to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel of grace and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that we read our Bibles regularly. And that's why it's so important that everyone is given the opportunity to discover and unlock those truths in the Bible for themselves, to see God through his word. That's why we need to keep praying that God keeps the door open for us to keep teaching the truth about Jesus. Not just in our schools, in our universities, but also within the communities in which we live. And that's why it's so why we need to keep preaching and teaching the word, even when it is not so popular to hear, but always with patience and careful instruction. Please join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word given to us. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us to teach your word in our local schools here in the St. George area. Thank you for the many wonderful stories we have of people as they hear the good news about Jesus, who have turned to Jesus and put their trust in him. We pray that you will continue to keep these opportunities open in our schools so that more and more students will be able to hear the good news about Jesus and know how to live as your servants. Father, particularly we pray for our sister Jocelyn, who heads up religious studies at Danebank. Father, we pray that you would give her great wisdom as she leads that team and as she teaches the students there. We pray that they would be enthusiastic to dig into your word, and where they have that freedom, Father, to ask questions and to think about their own lives and their relationship with you. Pray that you would give Jocelyn and the other teachers wisdom to know how to answer and respond. Father, we thank you for the work that Liz and Matt are doing, and we pray that you would continue to keep those doors open for them, Father. We pray for our scripture teachers, Father. We thank you for the ministry that you have given to them in the various schools and the classes that they have. And Father, we pray that the students would be receptive to studying your word, to knowing those great promises you gave to Abraham so many years ago that find their fulfillment in Jesus. That as they look at Jesus' life and his great love and the sacrifice that he made, they might see the need and that great attraction that Jesus brings to turn and trust in him. Father, we pray also for the upcoming workshops for divorce care. We thank you for Rob and Sue and their willingness to facilitate those workshops. We thank you for Linda and John and their willingness to come on board and help with the facilitation process. We pray that that would be a great blessing to all who come along, Father. And we pray for Graham Coe and the team of facilitators starting up the DC4K. We pray that that would be a very helpful ministry for children who have parents that have separated or divorced. We pray that it will provide a forum for them to talk about their emotions and their hurts and the challenges that they face. And we pray, Father, that as these workshops occur, that they would see that you are the God of compassion and that they would feel your healing hand upon them. Father, we also pray for our Anglicare food drive. We thank you for the opportunity to reach out to our community. And Father, we ask that you would be preparing the hearts and minds of the people that we would go and ask for food, that we'd be overwhelmed by their generous response as we seek to collect food for those in Sydney who are in great need. And Father, we also pray for our sister, Jane Estelle, as she recovers from surgery following the ski accident and her broken leg. Father, we do pray that that healing process would go well. We pray for Jane that you would give her patience in the rehabilitation time. We pray for John and for Blake and Ben, that they would know how to care for their wife and mother. And Father, that you give them strength as they face just extra struggles in balancing work and study and school and caring for an extra member of the family in that way. Father, we thank you that we can bring all these things before you, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you always do what is best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.